Today is the 8th of March and I've just come back from Puccini's restaurant, which is in Swinton, nice Italian. It's in quite a rough area really, and it's amazing because it gets full every weekend. It's rather expensive, but the food is always of a top quality. And despite it being in quite a rough area, apparently quite a lot of famous people go there, such as Gary Neville, Sven-Goran Eriksson, the England team, apparently the United players sometimes going there to eat, etc. It's run by a lovely man called Mr. Pucci, who always makes sure he goes round and speaks to every table to check that people are enjoying themselves. And I have to say, whenever Martin and I have been in there, we usually go once a year for my birthday. It's usually the place I always pick. And they're fantastic. You know, they tell you where everything is that they put down on the table. They'll read the menu to you if you like, and so on and so forth. However, this time I came a little bit more prepared because I looked on their website. I wanted to see if it had their menu on. And it had the menu on, but not the prices. And I asked Mr. Pucci why he didn't put the prices on there. And apparently he says, he said, I can't be bothered to change it every year. It's too much trouble. So that's what he said anyway. That was his reasoning for not putting the prices on there, which I don't know whether that was the truth or not. But anyway, regardless of that, we started off. I had what was it called? Pate della casa, which was a chicken liver pate, came with some orange garnish, and some salad, of course, and toast and butter, which was rather nice. We had a garlic bread with cheese to share. Martin, for his starter, had spare ribs. And then for the main course, I had petit pollo à la crema, which is obviously chicken in like a cream sauce with mushrooms. And now I'm not a big fan of mushrooms, but I can eat these because they're only cut up very small. That came with roast potatoes and carrot and broccoli, which was very nice indeed. I also took the liberty of checking the wine list on the website, and this was a bit disconcerting because they didn't have the prices. And I hate to be a cheapskate and ask how much things are, but unfortunately, because it didn't have the prices there, I had to ask. And I thought, well, with this being, you know, a place where a lot of famous people eat, that some of the wines might be really expensive. Well, I'm very glad I checked. I picked out three wines. One was a Chardonnay, what was it called? A Chardonnay something margarita. I forget the middle word. It'll come back to me. And then there was a Peruccino and what was the other one called? A Falagmina or something like that. They were the three I picked out. They were sounded the nicest out of the white selection. Pardon my awful pronunciation. Gosh, what was that Chardonnay called? Anyway, never mind. I was glad I checked the prices because one was £23, one was £28 and one was £32. Martin was laughing. He said, bloody hell, Donna, he said, you've picked the good ones there. But I'm sure they probably went more expensive after that. The Orvieto was, even that was about 20. They did a house wine for £14.75 for a litre, which we've had before. But we decided to go for the Chardonnay and see what we thought. So we went for that. And I had a gin and tonic and a couple of Peronis as well during the meal. For dessert, and I don't always have pudding, but I did on this occasion. I had profiteroles, and it came with some chocolate ice cream and some strawberry garnish, which was quite nice. And then I had a Bailey's coffee. Martin had, for his main course, he had veal and mushrooms, veal with mushrooms, like in a mushroomy sort of sauce. Funghi, I think they call that in Italian, don't they? Mushrooms. And then he also had panna cotta. for his dessert, and he had an espresso and a grappa brandy, and I had a Bailey's coffee. It was a nice evening, actually. We talked about all sorts of things, from kind of politics and you know, around disability and how things are now compared to how they were kind of when we were younger, and the fact that things seem to be deteriorating, through to various cult Celtic figures that we've known in all the years we've been going to Celtic matches. So George Divers got a mention, as did, of course, Desi Kilban, as did Kevin and Heather from the Birmingham Celtic Supporters Club. Heather, of course, who used to go and get all the Scottish meat for people. Then she'd wake people up at sort of 12 o'clock at night when we'd finally got back to Birmingham, which is where they were based. And she'd say, "Danny, wake up, I've got your meat for you." So we talked about all of that and had quite a good laugh. And one occasion in particular where we remember being walked out of Euston Station by George Divers, accompanied by various policemen, just to make sure we got out okay. That was the kind of man George was, really. It was quite good fun. Then we got separate taxis home, and I'm home now. And now we come to the second part of my boo. So, as some of you may know, Hope seems to behave better when she's left if I get her some of the cuddly toys which live in my rucksack, or at least one of them. And she seems to like this because it's kind of got my scent on it, and I've found that she's been a lot less destructive since I've been doing this. All well and good. Now, today, because I knew Puccini's would be busy and it's quite a small restaurant with everything all close together, etc., I decided not to take Alice with me. So I left both girlies, and I quickly got three cuddlies out of my rucksack that I, you know, take away if I'm going anywhere, which were Daisy the cow and Elma the elephant, and another toy which is apparently called a baby Jack. It's kind of star-shaped, but not flat like a star, more kind of rounded, and it has a squeaker at each end. So, and they had their stag bars out, which is like deer horn that they can chew on and different things, and I took them out to spend and all that, so all well and good. Now, if any of you listen to Sam, Dreamcatcher SJE's Booze, you'll know that last time we were at Sam's house, the quilt, one of Kate's quilt, got destroyed. We don't know which dog did it, but the quilt was minus an awful lot of stuffing and so on and so forth. So anyway, these three toys were left out. As I say, I found it's worked when I've left Hope on her own. What I didn't bargain for, obviously, was the fact that when there's two dogs, you know, they play tug games and things like that with the cuddly toys, which of course I do know, but I hadn't really sort of thought about it much. And of course, when I came back, there was all this stuffing on the floor. Dogs were all fine. They hadn't chewed anything in the house or been destructive, but the stuffing was all over the floor. So I thought, well, I don't know which toy this is from, but I quickly took off my clothes and then made sure my curtains were shut and started crawling around in my knickers and bra for all this stuffing, because I didn't want to get it all over my trousers and stuff. So I thought, right, okay, so this is the best way to sort of do it. Picked all the stuffing up, found Daisy the cow intact, found Elma the elephant intact, but poor baby Jack was no more. He'd completely been destroyed. And actually, do you know what? I don't think that Hopalopa did it, because she's very gentle with cuddly toys and always has been. I think Miss Alice took it to her bed probably and systematically destroyed it. Now, I've got no proof of this because I didn't, you know, video or record the, you know, what happened. But I think it was her that destroyed it. I'll never know for sure, but whenever I've left Hope on her own with a cuddly, it's always been absolutely fine when I've got back. So I think Miss Alice was to blame for this. I have a funny feeling that she may have been to blame. But other than that, girlies were both fine, and they were good, you know, they were good. And I've got loads of cuddly toys. It's not the end of the world. It's just, it makes a hell of a mess. And my dad, when he came back with me the other day, hoovered my floor for me with a fine tooth comb, got rid of every single hair he could find. I mean, although I hoover it, you know, you obviously miss the odd bit or two when you can't see. So when he comes, he usually runs the hoover over for me because he can see more than I can. So he, you know, he does that. And I thought, oh, what a shame. He's made such a good job of this floor. And now look what they've done. But I think I've managed to find it all. So that's at least something. So I think when Alice and Hope get left together, I don't think I'll put any cuddlies out just for Hope on her own. I think that's probably the way around the situation. But it was a great evening. I'm looking forward to going round to Martin's tomorrow to watch some rugby with him. Maybe take the girlies to Heaton Park, which should be nice. So at this point, I'll disappear and speak to you all soon.